the Lord here in Mark 12, let's just read it, verse number 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it, digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, beat him, and sent him away empty. That's as far as I'll read this evening. I want us to look at this. There's a lot in this teaching, the parable of the householder, that Jesus, he began to speak unto them by parables, it says in verse number 1. And this parable is certainly a picture of him coming to the Jews, of course, being the ones that were in control of the vineyard that should have produced the fruit, and that had eventually rejected the son of this man, this certain man. And that's what the Bible calls him, a certain man. Now, all of these, not every little thing in every picture is what you'd say a perfect or a clear. Sometimes they can be used as other analogies, and sometimes they can be used as two or even three different analogies. We can look at this as us. We can look at this as definitely was the Lord. This is a prophetic picture of the Lord coming to Israel. And we'll see some of that. I want to give you a picture of some of that. But what I want to look at this evening and talk to you a little bit about it, this kind of jumped out to me in my reading today. He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat. And that popped out at me. A place for the wine fat. A place for the wine fat. And that's what I want to, as far as putting a title on this message tonight, having a place for the wine fat. And that wine fat, what he's talking about here, is that why it's a... Let me just give you an introduction to the other, and I'll get to it. The wine fat, it's only mentioned here and one other place in the Old Testament, Isaiah 63:2. And I realized that today when I was studying it. The only two places in the Bible that it mentions wine fat. And so I looked up to try to gather some meaning about what this wine fat is, what it was talking about. Because it was important enough for him to dig a place for the wine fat. And I thought about that. Of all the things, listen, that he did in preparation of this vineyard, everything that he did, it was important that he did it. And sometimes you look at things and just pass right over them. I do that a lot. But today it really stood out to me. This certain man planted a vineyard. First of all, planted a vineyard. Okay, so he's got a goal and he wants a vineyard. Now, for him to have a vineyard, you can't just plant a vineyard and then leave it alone. Anybody that plants anything knows that you can't plant something and then just leave it. Are you listening? There has to be care took for that you've planted. And so he planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it. That's the second thing that he did. He said, I've got this vineyard. Now I've got to protect it. I've got to protect it from things that are going to come in and pick it clean or chop it down or destroy it or an enemy to come in. I've got to put a hedge about it. And so that was, I mean, could you imagine having a vineyard just out there in the middle of nothing and no hedge? No marker saying, keep out, hands off, this is mine, not yours. I mean, it would have been a waste of work for him to just plant the vineyard and leave it on its own. And so it was important that he put a hedge about it. And I thought about that. That hedge, it's a fence or an enclosing, a barrier, a partition. And that scripture come to my mind. It is that was divided between the Jew and the Gentile. That middle wall of partition. God had put a partition there between Jew and Gentile. It separated them and us. It separated us from them. Because they were the chosen. They were the special. We were the outcast. We were alienated. We were on the outside of the hedge. Amen? And that's what the Bible said. And with Christ broke down that middle wall of partition, that hedge. Amen? Why? To let us in. To let us in. And so that hedge, evidently, you know it's got to be to keep things out. And it was important that he had that hedge. A certain man. Listen, he's just not any man. Jesus ain't just no ordinary man. He is a certain man. Amen? I mean, he ain't like any other man. He's a certain man. I'm glad I know a certain man. Amen? Thank God. Now, he planted the vineyard. And again, this is only found once here in the New Testament and once in Isaiah 63:2. And the Bible said that dig the place for the wine fat. Dig the place for the wine fat. And the wine fat, the word that he used in Isaiah 63:2, Brother Mike, this is the Hebrew word. The Hebrew and Chaldee, Gath. Gath. Anybody know? Anybody ever heard that name before? Gath? It's a city in the Philistines. It's a city in the Philistines. A little old city. I mean, out in the middle. I mean, seemed unnecessary to so many. But it was named Gath. Wine fat. That's what it was named. Now, just keep that in mind. That may bless you here in a little bit. And so then I just kept looking, and it means a vat. And they get that from the Anglo-Saxon, the word vat, V-A-T-T. And it's a vat for holding grapes to press them. And in the New Testament, Mark here, 12:1, it's hupalainion. That's the Greek word. And it means a vessel or a receptacle or a trough under the wine press to catch and receive the juice. So this wine fat here that he's talking about is a place to hold the juice. That's what it is. It's a place put under, prepared under to catch, under the press. They put that in, those grapes in the press, and everybody's seen it on I Love Lucy, you know, where they get in there and they stomp around, and they've been doing that for thousands of years. That's how they pressed them out. But, I mean, listen, they didn't just do that and the juice stay in there. That juice went down under. Under a place they had digged out and prepared a trough and a catching place. Are you getting that? You need a place to catch the juice. I mean, when you think about that in this spiritual sense, here we've got a good church, we've got a Bible, amen, we've got choirs and Sunday schools and hymnals, and, I mean, we've got a lot of things to help us to enjoy a vineyard. Could you imagine not having a place to catch the juice? And the juice just ruins. Listen, spiritually, God wants us to enjoy the Christian life. Do you know wine is a picture of joy? It's a picture of worship and joy and happiness. Amen? That's exactly right. He's not talking about alcoholic. That'd be like leavened bread. Amen? Adding something to it. No, it's that wine fat. The juice that comes out of the grapes and goes under down to that prepared holding place. Amen. You got one of them if you're saved. Amen. Put it to use. And so he digged a place for the wine vat and built a tower. Built a tower. Now it's important that he built that tower. I mean, could you imagine having that vineyard and having a hedge, but not having a tower? What was that tower for? That tower was a watchtower. Cities had a watchtower. Vineyards had a watchtower. It was built up high to where they could see over all of it. Nothing could sneak in or come in anywhere. They could see everything. Everything. There was no area that they could not see of that vineyard. Now, Isaiah used the same word in Isaiah chapter number 1. And I want you to read this with me because this really caught my attention. Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 8. He said this. Well, look at it in the context. Verse 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Look, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, and that was the word he was using, the same Hebrew word, cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Where a tower was supposed to be, they put a cottage and a lodge. Listen, a tower in the vineyard or the city, hey, it's not a party joint. It's not a resting place. It's a guard tower. It's a military institution, so to speak. Amen? It's a watchtower. That's what it's supposed to be. But in Isaiah chapter number 1, their whole city was besieged. Why? Because where the tower was, there was a cottage. Where the tower was supposed to be, there was a nice little palace up, nice little comfy. Well, they're not watching anything if they're lapping in luxury. Do you see that? Do you see how important it is? I mean, that the tower is built. It's the same as when he talked about in Luke 13, the Tower of Siloam. You remember what Jesus said about the Tower of Siloam? He said in Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 4, he said, of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? This tower fell. Think they were sinners above all? Why were they sinners? The people in the tower, the people around the tower? Nobody, maybe it's that nobody was in the tower doing what they were supposed to do. And it fell. I don't know the whole story of that. But I know that's an awful thing when you think about that Tower of Siloam and all them people that got killed there. Jesus just mentioned it here. Amen? And so the tower, it is important that it is built, that it is occupied. Amen? That it is used exactly the way that it's supposed to be intended to use. Now our Lord began to speak to them in parables here, and he began to speak to them about a certain man planting a vineyard. Do you know what Jesus had just got done going through in chapter number 11 before he got here? He had just made an official presentation as Jesus the King of Kings coming into Jerusalem on that little donkey. You remember that? And they rejected the worship, everything that the people and even the children were doing, the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, they hated that. They didn't want them doing that. And then Jesus came back and saw a barren fig tree. I mean, where he was hoping to find fruit, it was barren. And then Jesus went to the temple hoping to find the house of prayer. And he found it, what? A den of thieves. He said, my house shall be called of all nations in verse 17 of chapter 11. A house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him. Then Jesus taught his disciples about the prayer of faith. Have faith in God, verse 22. Jesus' authority was questioned in verse 27. Verse 27, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came in verse 28 and said unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? We want to know, by what authority? I mean, he is being rejected by them. Now, when he begins to speak in parables in chapter 12, of people that were led out of vineyard from a certain man, made a vineyard, and what did he do? He did like, I think, 12 different things that you can find in this chapter down through about verse 14. But right here in verse number 1, first, planted the vineyard, set a hedge about it, digged a place for the wine fat, built a tower, and then let it out to the husbandman. 5 things he did. That's a picture of grace. It was his grace that they had what they had. It was all of his grace. All of his giving, all of his goodness, all of his preparation, all of his making, his creation. Amen? He made this made it all, and went into a far country. And at the season, what season is that? It's a certain season. At the season when it would have first bore fruit to the point that it could have been profitable. It was probably at least the fourth year, is what a lot of writers say. 4 years. All they had to do was tend to it, and he sent somebody. And they caught him and beat him, and sent him away empty. See, that's the prophets, and he says, he makes the statement, I sent to you prophets, and you beat some. You stoned some, and others you killed. Finally, what did he do? Verse number 6, having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved. That's a term of endearment. That's agapetos. It's the term that God uses of his beloved son. So he takes his well-beloved. He sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And that's exactly what they were afraid of. That if Jesus was the one, their little positions and their apparel and positions in the temple and all their little mob really that they set up, a little mafia really pretty much what they had. What they said went. And the people gave to them when they said give. It was awful. And they knew he'd take that away from them. And so he said, they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard, verse 8. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman. We'll give the vineyard unto others. That's us, church. Gentiles. Gentiles. Have you not read this scripture? See, this is the prophecy of it all. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. So this man made this place for the wine fat. Built a tower. And these men that he lent it out to, listen, they were husbandmen. They were land workers, farmers, tillers of the ground. That sounds like the curse that God put on Adam. And vine dressers. Why would he hire a carpenter to take care of a vineyard? He wanted land workers. They were the people that he gave it to. Now listen, now, Paul mentioned that over in the book of Romans, about how that we shouldn't be high-minded, you know. Why? Because God has put a lot in our hands. Have we made a place for the wine fat? Have we as a church, have I got a place? Have you got a place? Have you digged a place for the wine fat? Are you doing, are you dressing, are you working the vineyard? That was the whole thing that Jesus talked to them about, the parables of the money, putting it to use. The vineyard, working it, and it producing fruit the way that it was supposed to. Some 30, some 50, some 100. It'd all be a waste if there's not a place for the wine fat. Where's all that going to go? Are we just going to let it seep into the ground? Many times, listen, church, we don't enjoy the benefit of His hand because we've not worked out a place to catch the wine fat. A place under where the pressing's done. I think that's a place of prayer. A place under where all the pressing's done. Our lives sometimes can be pressed. The things around us can be pressed. We don't need to let that go to waste. What is it that God is pressing out of our lives, out of our spirit? Amen? Anyways, I've come to the end of the thought for this evening. When you read again chapter number 11 and see what all that Jesus had just went through, and how they still, even in chapter 12, giving them this parable, showing them what they should do, what they have and what they have not done. Oh, my Lord, has there ever been times where you just know God spoke to you and said, this is what you need to do to make a place for your wine fat? This right here is what's hindering the flow. This right here, if you don't do this, if you don't build this, if you don't hedge this, it'll all be taken away. It'll be for nothing. You know, there's scriptures that talk about when we stand before the Lord. It talks about our work, our labor. That it'll be tried. I hope I've got some fruit. I hope I've got some juice that's been caught. Amen. Amen. All right, I want you to stand this evening. God bless you. God's grace is sufficient. All we have to do is tend to that He has given us. He didn't ask me to build a tower, He already built it. He didn't ask me to build a hedge. He already built it. Amen. We just need to keep the vineyard. Keep the vineyard.